Hour number two of Willie and D-Mace here on 102.5 The Game. Still sounds a little new to say with Caroline moving on. We congratulate her once again for moving up to bigger and better things, but she will still be around. She's still in the family. We'll talk to her down the road. Derek Mason is on vacation this week. Jill Jelinek from Fox 17 is with us today, having fun on this Monday, cranking it out. We're going to go until 3 o'clock today, the special summer hours for the next couple weeks, 12 to 3. Teron Davenport is with us, as he always is, and this is weird. Like, we're doing the time adjustment. He's at the same time. Our show's at a different stage. Usually we've been on for 2 hours. So, Teron, if we're not as warmed up as we normally sound here, it's because of we're still adjusting to the new schedule here. Do we have Teron? We do. Teron, are you there?
What up, TD?
I'm here.
All right, so Teron, you've got a little piece on ESPN as we sort of kind of pass our time and sort of set the table for the next time we see the Titans on the field and training camp. There's a lot of pieces that around the league you sort of compare notes, and the theme you guys have going on ESPN right now is just the early returns on the first-round picks, and you had your take on J.C. Latham. So tell people what you shared with your audience.
Yeah, well, there's an entry in that 32 for 32, but there's also a story specifically on J.C. Latham. It's just the fact that he's come in and shown wisdom and comfort beyond the level of a rookie. I think that's really the main thing. You see him out there cheering the guys on. You see him out there giving coaching tips, and you see him out there receiving them too. And just all the extra hard work he's done. I mean, there's stories of him having to be drugged inside the building because he was out there working extra. And even, you know, the last time that we were out there, we were interviewing the assistant coaches, and there's J.C. Latham walking in the background of one of the videos that I posted, and he's on bare feet grounding and getting extra steps. So it's just, he's done everything necessary to show that he's capable. Obviously, there's still a lot that has to be shown, you know, once the pads go on and actual contact, et cetera, but he's gotten off to as good of a start as possible.
He's also super fun to watch, TD. Like, you kind of mentioned him jabbering at Coach Callahan as he's walking away during Coach Callahan's presser. He's got an energy and a confidence about him that you just don't see in a lot of rookies, and I've found him to be so fun to cover the last couple weeks. On a flip side, TD, another rookie we haven't seen, Tavondre Sweat, rookie defensive lineman. He's missed minicamp and OTAs with what Coach Callahan calls short-term injury. Coach Callahan didn't seem too concerned, but considering how pertinent these weeks are for these rookies, and especially on that D-line, what's your level of concern when it comes to Tavondre Sweat?
Yeah, I don't really have any concern. I would imagine there's something that they feel has to be ironed out now, and this way he could spend the offseason just getting ready for what's coming up in training camp, as opposed to going out there, possibly injuring it, and then spending the offseason rehabbing. That's not as good of a thing as being able to just, you know, build up to camp. So I think that's probably the case. I think also, obviously, the conditioning and the weight is something that they're going to continue to try to get him to where they want him to be. And I wouldn't be concerned. Obviously, you know, being out there on the field is always the best way to learn. I mean,
right,
most people, you know, visual and acting out the tasks that you're assigned are the best way. So there is some drawback there. But if he comes in there at camp and he's ready to go, I think everything that we've seen up to this point is just kind of moot. It's a moot point.
He's Teron Davenport with ESPN, and TD, the training camp is where we all really make our critical assessments, right? You said it. Like, that's where we really kind of can judge this team, who they have, who's healthy, and that is especially that offensive line. I think it's been really fun this offseason to see the moving parts of that offensive line starting to come together, especially with the new offensive line coach, Bill Callahan. But I do wonder if this is a area where the Titans might still add one more. I know they just signed Jerron Christian, a tackle, just last week, so they're continuing to look at more players, and Coach Callahan said that too. But how confident are you in the offensive line that they have right now, or would you be surprised at all if they maybe look to add an interior O-lineman sometime before or leading up to training camp?
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised if they add an interior O-lineman. You look at the center position, I mean, there's not much depth there. Daniel Brunskill, from what I understand, was asked to be the take on the backup center role, among others. So you do have that, and I would imagine they could add a center. But I think you look from, you know, the left side of it, that's pretty much locked down over the center. So you're looking at two spots, and I think they have a pretty good idea of who's going to end up being the right guard, with Sadiq Charles seeming to settle into that role. Right tackle is still a question. I think that's a question that's going to remain throughout training camp. So if they do bring in somebody, it wouldn't surprise me. In the meantime, is Jalen Duncan and Nicholas Petit-Frere competing for that spot, you know, whenever Petit-Frere comes back.
Well, and on top of that, it's not like the Titans are limited in their cap space. They have a lot of cap space, a little under $25 million, right? And it makes me think about how this time last year, or maybe a little later in the summer, we were all talking about DeAndre Hopkins. The rumors, is he coming? How the Titans were desperate to add some wide receiver depth, right? And then all of a sudden, that was, I felt like we were talking about D-Hop every day leading up to training camp, and that was obviously the big story. Do you see the Titans making another big splash, maybe not quite as big as what DeAndre Hopkins was last year because he was such a need, but what are the chances that the Titans could make another big splash considering they have so much cap space to work with?
Yeah, I think with Justin Simmons out there lurking, there's definitely a possibility for a DeAndre Hopkins-like splash signing. I think it's very similar, right, in that you have a veteran who's still somewhat near the top of his game, not the same impact player that he was, but still a very good one. So I can see Justin Simmons being a guy they bring in, and that would really help that secondary because he's still a pretty solid center fielder, right? You know, he's not that same guy that he used to be, but he still can eliminate some mistakes from the guys at the cornerback position.
Teron Davenport is with us. We're talking football with him as we bide our time before training camp starts. Interesting to me, Toronto, I just saw this story. The Lions are signing a UFL kicker, and that makes a lot of sense to me, where a guy can really showcase his ability and get signed by an NFL team. I would think a punter might have the same type of success. I'm curious, do you think a regular position player who just went through the wear and tear of a season like that, if a guy really stood out, could he recover in time where an NFL team would be like, yeah, this guy's good enough. He might be a little bit beat up, but he's good. We've missed on this guy. We want him on our team.
Yeah, I definitely think so. And that kicker, man, he hit a 64-yarder this season.
That'll get your attention.
He definitely has some legs. And he was pretty consistent over 50, so he's going to get a good shot. When you were saying a regular position player, a guy that popped into my mind immediately is Hakeem Butler. And he came out of Iowa State a couple years ago, I'd say probably 4 years ago, and I remember the big buzz because he was 6'4", he ran a 4.3, you know, and everything was impressive, measurable-wise, and he kind of burned out in the league. But Wade Phillips, the coach, when he faced him, he said, you know, he's going to do everything he can to get him back in the league. So there's an example of a guy, and I think, you know, we talked about Daniel Brunskill, right?
Yeah.
Daniel Brunskill did just that, you know, a few years ago, going from the XFL AFL to the 49ers. So, yeah, it could definitely be done. And I think if an old lineman can do it, anybody can.
I don't know how much you follow the league or the state of it, but I'm, you know, as Teron, you and I are roughly the same age. I think we can both remember the USFL and some premier players that, of course, got lured with big money to go there, the Herschel Walkers, the Doug Flutie's, those guys. But what would you categorize now? I have a feel that this league, and I didn't watch it, but I think like the spring league has got a little more solid footing than it has in years past. Maybe the financial model is a little bit better. Would you agree? What level of football are we thinking here?
Yeah, it definitely has gotten much more financially stable because you have the TV contracts, you know, ESPN, Fox. You look at the game yesterday, that was on Fox, you know. So, and Tom Brady was out there handing out the trophy. So there's definitely associations that are very marketable for that league. As far as the talent level, you know, you mentioned the USFL, man, Reggie White, Jim Kelly, you know, there's so many guys, Sam Mills, there's so many players that were premier players in the NFL. I don't think you have that I think there's clearly a step off, a drop off in talent, but it's still consisting of guys that could come in and help out, and I think they can make a roster, but it's just not at the level of talent to compete directly with the NFL. That I just don't think is going to happen. Again, the USFL right. was the closest, but that's it.
Yeah, nor should it. I don't think we're ever to see like anything like that. I am curious, though, yeah. if it would evolve into, if it could evolve into, a NFL Europe type of thing where you could put a couple of players. I've talked to Tim Hasselbeck, who played in NFL Europe back in the day. He thought it was great for his career because he got to play. He got to get himself mm-hmm. in a better position to become an NFL quarterback and earn a paycheck and be in the league for a long time as a backup most of the time. But just to bring it back to Nashville, I always think about what if Malik Willis could play in that league yep. for a while as sort of a developmental prospect for the Titans. If you were him, yeah. wouldn't you want to sign up for something like that and show what you can do and get the reps?
Yeah, and it's funny you mentioned Malik Willis because that's literally as you were going through what you were saying. That's the first player that popped into my mind because you would love to see him get reps. And I think that's all he needs. He has talent. He just needs reps, seeing it and feeling it and just getting used to letting it go when he sees it and believes it, you know. And I think that really comes from reps. And if you talk to Malik Willis, that's what he'll tell you. You know, he just needs reps. The reps are the best thing. Like, that's the medicine for him. And he's just simply not getting that, right? Especially now behind Mason Rudolph as well. I know they said it's a competition, but let's be frank, it's not. You know what I mean? So, yeah, if I were him, I would love to get into that league, but it takes a degree of humbleness, right? You got to really humble yourself. Here it is. You went from a guy who was, you know, at one point considered a first-round pick. You know, you dropped to the third round, you got into the league and did not develop the way for various reasons you had hoped. Now you got to humble yourself and go to a league like that. But a lot of times, you know, after that humbleness comes an opportunity. And so I would love that for him, and I think he would too.
TD, I got one more question for you on this Titans offense because, I mean, let's be honest, we've been talking about that right and left since Callahan got here. And I can't speak for you, but I know that when I came to the first OTA and was at that Titans field and watching everybody come together, all the vets, right, it was an instant reminder to me that Derrick Henry is no longer on this football team. Yeah. I know we have not talked to him about him in quite a bit, but it was so funny how I just gradually looked over at the running back position and was like, oh my God, that's right.
It's different.
It yeah. is different. And that's because he was such a physical presence on top of a talented player. And I bring that up because this dynamic duo of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears, I don't think, and again, I'm not going to speak for you, TD. I don't think I've tried to talk about them more and more. I don't think I've even talked about how exciting this dynamic duo is because we're giving a lot of love to this new wide receiver group, which is very flashy and very talented. But when you've seen what they've been able to do at practice, I know it's early. I know we don't have the pads on. But when you heard Coach Callahan say that, I think this duo, he has some of the most excitement for this dynamic duo and their potential. What did you take away from that? What are you expecting from this dynamic duo of Tony Pollard and Tajay Spears?
Yeah, I think what Brian Callahan did was watch so many of the big plays. Tajay Spears had three plays of, I want to say three, of 40 yards or more. You know, that's pretty explosive and pretty attractive as a offensive coach. So I think that duo is going to do well. I really, really like the way Steve Jordan has said he's going to approach it, the running backs coach. You know, he said, because I asked him about managing touches and making sure the guys get their carries. And he said, oh, wait a minute. Carries are carries, but we're also going to look at catches, overall touches. So if a guy carries the ball six times and has six catches as well, you know, that's 12 touches. That's yep. that's reasonable. You know, I think that's a great understanding of it. And you could only have that level of input if you believe both guys are dual threats. And I think that's exactly what you have in Spears and Pollard. And I look forward to when at some point this offense becomes visible to others, and you could kind of see the way these yeah. guys are going to be used and taken advantage of from a pass-catching perspective.
Teron Davenport brought to you by ESPN Bet Sportsbook. We're going to talk about ESPN bet here in just a moment. But, Teron, we have to take a moment. Our team is playing much better, and I did not know why until I was watching SportsCenter the other day, and I put it all together. I was watching yesterday. They were wearing the City Connect uniforms, and for those of you that follow anything about baseball, these City Connect jerseys, there are no boundaries, right? You can pretty much show up in anything you want, whether it's the color scheme, loosely related to the color scheme, used to be your color scheme. There's no holes barred. The Mets have come up with something that is kind of New York, but not Mets colors, and there's purple involved. So they brought out the grimace. The Mets have not had a great season up until recently. They're starting to play better, and then they brought the grimace out to throw the first pitch. And here is the take on SportsCenter.
Little McDonald's can't fix, even the New York Mets.
Very true.
They go from major disappointment to maybe the hottest team in baseball, and all it took was grimace. Flash it back to Wednesday. Grimace throws out the first pitch at Citi Field. And it's a pretty good one, I mean, considering how out of shape he looks. But Not a bad pitch. And continuing the tradition of blob mascots in sports, of course, Western Kentucky and Gritty. And obviously, it's working for the Mets. The mojo is good. Francisco Lindor.
The mojo is good for the Mets right now. And a great shout out to the Western Kentucky mascot, Big Red. Would he be offended if they called him a blob mascot?
And he's a blob, yeah.
He's a blob, right? That's no offense.
He knows his place.
Gritty may have a few things to say. I don't know. But TD, the grimace, that's all it took.
Yeah, it is all it took, man. And they swept the Padres. It was the first time in like almost 20 years or so. So it's good to see that. And I think, you know, you look at this team, they won, what, 8 of the last?
I think it's 9 out of 11. 20.
Yeah, it's something really bad. You know what I mean? And then this happened, and it's been great. And I guess, you know, what they need to do is turn the apple into the top half of the grimace, you know, when a home run is hit. And J.D. Martinez, he's been hot. So, yeah, man, Pete Alonso. And I almost said Jose Reyes. Today's Jose Reyes' birthday, by the way. But he and Frankie Lindor, they hit home runs together, and, you know, haven't seen that in a while. So, yeah, life is better as a Mets fan.
It's better.
I'm not gonna say it's good or great, but it's better.
Got a long way to go. If you can't tell, TD and I are big Mets fans. But I do think it's a great thing to think about the grimace for a second. I know when I grew up in Toronto, the first time you saw the grimace, you're like, what exactly is that? But, of course, it's all with the McDonald's. And when I was a kid, like just getting to go to McDonald's, the treat of doing that, you're like, oh, yeah, Ronald and the grimace and the Hamburglar.
Yeah,
I'm in. Let's go. But, like, I don't know when the last time I even saw the grimace. Like, he's not, like, out in the forefront. But how did he get the gig?
I used to joke with Jarrell Casey and say that he was shaped like the grimace. I was like, you're out there grinding and getting all those sacks and toe-tagging the body bag, and you're out there shaped like the grimace, man. It's crazy. And he just would crack up.
I think the grimace needs its own baseball card now, right? I feel like we've gotten to that status. The beekeeper, we had his own baseball card.
Oh yes, he did.
The
only took like 48 hours to get that done.
48 hours. Come on, guys, let's turn that over.
Oh yeah, when you go to McDonald's and the Happy Meal,
yes,
I'm sure you're going to get the grimace baseball card.
The grimace baseball card. If not, that's an opportunity missed.
That is an opportunity. And I wonder the origin of the grimace. Maybe it's online somewhere. I'm sure somebody's got a column somewhere on who thought up the grimace.
If you know, text us.
Yeah. Can anybody send that to us? All right. So in the meantime, while we do our research, maybe Nick is on that. But Teron, let's go Mets. And also tell us before we let you go about ESPN Bet.
Yeah, absolutely, man. ESPN Bet has all the fans covered for the biggest moments of this summer. It's the exclusive sports book at ESPN, and it's the only place to find special offers and promotions from your favorite ESPN shows and personalities throughout the summer. As a new user, you get a bet reset up to $1,000 in bonus bets if your first bet doesn't win. So download ESPN Bet today. What a play. You must be 21 or older and in Tennessee. For problem gambling support, call or text the TN Redline at 800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. See the app for details.
Teron, great stuff. We'll talk to you again next week and carry on.
Thanks, TD.
All right, appreciate it.
All right, great stuff from TD. You can see him on ESPN.com. They've got a really good article right now on the 32 first-round picks and even follow-ups on the other draft picks, the first impressions of the first offseason leading up to their rookie year. All right, the College World Series is underway. Florida and North Carolina State. We'll give you an update on that when we come back. We'll also maybe talk a little bit more. We have some follow-ups on the Grimace and other blob mascots.
Oh,
like,
wow.
Anybody listening up in Bowling Green, like, is that? I hope I don't strike a chord or anything by just going with the SportsCenter guy on blob mascots.
I think, yeah, it's okay to call him a blob.
But I also would like, what's your favorite blob? Any kind of mascot. What's your other than Nash, of course, who's hands down.
Yeah, I was just gonna say one. Put Nash aside in his own category.
I got a couple. I might play on the other side.
Okay, yeah. 615-737-1025. We'll also keep talking a little College World Series. We've got a lot up our sleeve today. Stay tuned. Jill Delnick filling in today for D-Mace, who's on vacation. We got a lot more coming here on 102.5 The Game.